Yes, Mr. Heck.
Here.
Mr. Jenkins.
Here.
Ms. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Sabadini.
Here.
Mrs. Tarassi.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Here.
Can we please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we begin, please note that this meeting is being live-streamed and recorded. There are two cameras in use this evening, one focused on the Board of Education and another one that may be used during any public commentary or presentations. By participating in this meeting, you acknowledge you may be captured on video. Thank you for your understanding and for joining us tonight. Before we begin, this is a little bit for those who are taking in our meeting tonight. I want to provide a little bit background into tonight. An independent investigation was conducted into a formal complaint regarding mishandling of athlete safety, privacy, and communication. The independent investigator has determined that the district is not in violation of Title IX. Specifically, the investigation concluded that the claims against the district were unsubstantiated. Per our board policy 2260, the complainant has a right to appeal to the Board of Education the decision of the superintendent. The purpose of this tonight is for the Board of Education to hear the appeal by the complainant. Before we begin also, due to timing, the complainant has the opportunity to utilize all the time, we will move public commentary to the end after the appeal presentation. And now I'll turn it over to Jeremy Chisholm, our attorney.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll be very brief, again, to allow the maximum possible time for our complainant to present. It's our understanding that the complainant is assisted by counsel and may call witnesses as well. So I would only ask that everybody please remain quiet as possible so that everybody can have an opportunity to hear everybody who's spoken. If there's any issues with the technology, we have technology. Our senior director is here and available to assist with that, to make sure that we can have the microphones working and the live stream continuing as needed. If you have slides, I believe we've already connected, but if there's any issue with that, let us know and we'll be able to sort that out as well. Just a couple of ground rules that are applicable to all of our board meetings, but I know not everybody in the room participates in all of our board meetings. So the board will be very careful to not identify any individual minors unless the minor or parent wishes to identify themselves as well, out of respect for the student's FERPA rights. So if a student is present and does wish to speak in their own name, that's perfectly allowable, but the board's not going to call any student names out of respect here as well. And similarly, the Open Meetings Act provides that an employee who's going to have their performance reviewed by the board is given the legal option to have that review done in closed session as opposed to a public session, which we're in at this point in time. So please direct criticisms of the program and things like that at the program. It's okay if a person's name is mentioned in the course of that, but if it becomes apparent that there's a digression on an individual and it's about the individual's performance as opposed to a critique of the program or something like that, we may need to intervene and say, please redirect so that we're not talking about an employee performance review in public, so that we don't violate the Open Meetings Act. We will try to wrap up around 6:45 because the board does have another meeting scheduled at 7:00. But this is the agenda item for the night, and the time is yours. So I believe our complainant is here, and I will defer to his counsel, who I know, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Thompson, if you'd like to begin your present. Mr. President.
I neglected to say, if you do want to speak during the public commentary, please fill out a form that's on the table there at the back to my left, your right, and hand it in to Jamie, our administrative assistant. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Thompson, the board is willing to listen, and please proceed.
Okay. First of all, I will indicate my name is Richard Thompson. I'm the president and chief counsel of the Thomas More Law Center,
a public interest law firm, national in scope, located in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I'm here to represent Sean Lechner, and his minor daughter, 16-year-old Briley. Now, from the beginning, President Heck, I already disagree with some of the commentary you've made. This was not a recommendation by the independent counsel. This was a decision made by Mr. Andrew Shaw, the superintendent. The superintendent was given the recommendation and final report by your independent counsel, but it was Andrew Shaw who basically had to agree with it and actually implemented it. And it is that report that we are challenging. To the respect that I give to Jeremy Chisholm, I was very reluctant to appear before this board because I felt that the signal was already given. Your superintendent had already decided this issue, and would this board oppose the superintendent? But due to the persuasive discussion I had with Mr. Chisholm, I agreed to appear with my client, who will be willing to answer any questions you may have. But I want to make this clear. Many centuries ago, in the marketplace of Athens, the philosopher Thucydides was asked by a citizen, "When will justice come to Athens?" Thucydides replied, "Justice will not come to Athens until those who are not injured are as indignant as those who are injured." And today I'm going to ask you to put yourself in the place of Sean Lechner and his 16-year-old daughter who was faced with what we will discuss today. And I'm honored to represent them on this 250th anniversary of the founding of our nation that we will celebrate next month. It was at that time that our founding fathers established several of the rights that we have. One of them is an indispensable right to free speech. And that's what Sean Lechner and his daughter are going to be speaking to you tonight. One of those things that happened in 1943 was President Roosevelt at that time wanted to persuade the Americans to send their sons to sacrifice across the ocean to save other nations. And so he developed these four freedoms. One of those freedoms was the freedom of speech. Guess what the painting that was commissioned to represent that was of? It was of a Board of Education meeting where a lone member stood up opposing what the majority wanted to do. He agreed this school district, the school building had burned down. He supported the school rebuilding, but he was upset with the fact that so much money was going to be spent on it. This was a painting of an actual person appearing before a Board of Education meeting in Vermont. The great painter, Norman Rockwell, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, Norman Rockwell painted that individual's likeness as the epitome, as the representative of free speech. And that so much reminds me of Sean Lechner as he stood up basically alone defending his daughter, defending her honor, and actually defending the honor and daughters of all those individuals who had to face the fact, after the fact, that they were undressing in front of a male. So it's important, and your job is important. I know you know your job is important, basically because all the cultural issues that we're facing right now, most of them are coming out of school boards. You know that.
the philosophy of the school district in one generation will be the philosophy of the government in the next. So your responsibility is tremendous, even though you may not realize it, because you're involved in so many mundane things that need to be done to operate a school system. But this issue is one of the most important issues facing our nation right now, and I'll explain it. A lot of attention is being placed to this, more than you may realize. I want to take you back to December 9, 2025, where there was a press conference. Sean Lechner gave that press conference, made a speech, and guess what? His daughter spontaneously went up to the camera and then gave her honest, spontaneous reaction to what she saw and felt after she found out that there was a male that was in the locker room where girls expected their privacy. And so, Orla, would you play that? Just to give you that image and give you the basis of what we're doing today.
I'm here today because on September 9th, Skyline High School rostered a male athlete on the girls' high school volleyball team, placing female athletes in danger and subjecting them to a loss of privacy, safety, and dignity. My daughter and her teammates were put in a situation that no female athlete should ever be put in. The very people we entrusted with our children failed them. The adults in charge knowingly allowed a male athlete to compete against our girls and allowed him access to the girls' locker room while they were changing, without the girls' consent or any parent. And there's no excuse for this, ever. They failed to protect our daughters, they failed to uphold federal law, and they failed to be honest about what truly occurred before, during, and after. This is purely about accountability, fairness, and justice. This is about privacy, safety, and dignity of any and all female athletes. Schools do not have the right to hide the biological sex of a male student at the expense of any female student or athlete. No male should ever be allowed into a female locker room where girls are changing or using the restroom. No male should ever be rostered on all girls sports. Co-ed, understandable. I'm speaking out today not just for my daughter, but for every family that was betrayed when the adults responsible failed to do their job. This burden must not fall on the shoulders of teenage girls. It is now the responsibility of parents, school officials, and lawmakers to step up and act. I will not stop speaking about this today, tomorrow, or the future until there's safeguards prevented in every school, especially this one here in Monroe High. Thank you.
This was definitely very devastating for all of us girls. I think that, why was it? Well, because this person did disguise themselves to look like a female. So when we found out weeks after, that there was another male in the same locker room as us, as we were changing and also playing against us, it caught everyone off guard, and it was very changing because nobody would have expected that. That would have been the last thought, because as I was looking at this person, admiring how amazing they were, admiring how high they could jump, I was kind of getting down to myself, like, I wonder why I'm not capable of that. So it was definitely very, like, changing to see that.
Today we are calling on the U.S. Department of Education and the Trump administration to act swiftly in this manner.
I don't know if you know of Riley Gaines. She's a spokesperson right now for many organizations, the Independent Women's Forum. She has her own podcast on Fox Nation. She appeared in the White House to witness President Trump sign the executive order banning men from women's sports, which was signed in February of 2025. At this point, I'm going to show you another clip.
and what Riley Gaines said about that clip.
Not having parents and adults realize the impact that it's having on somebody is very frustrating, disheartening, and it makes me feel really sick to think about that.
Yeah, me too.
And cloaking it as something that, like, you're doing a good thing, as opposed to realizing that, like, you're really, really impacting somebody's life in a negative way. And not just that one person, but any other trans athlete that wants to participate but is choosing not to because they don't have to go through this shit.
Riley Gaines had a comment about that. It might be difficult for you to see on the screen, but I will read it for you. And this is what she said. Amazing to watch grown men act like calling a boy is the world's worst atrocity in human a human is capable of committing. While accusing girls of some sort of phobia-ism when they don't consent to that boy stripping naked in their locker room. This is what she said. So we are here today because Superintendent Shaw found Mr. Lechner's Title IX complaint was unsubstantiated based upon this so-called independent investigation, which is highly suspect. We respectfully ask this board to reverse that decision. You have the power to do it. The Title IX policy of the Monroe Public School District found on its website is as follows. Okay, it may be hard for you to read again, but this is what it said. The Board of Education of Monroe Public Schools, hereinafter referred to as the board, in quotes, or the district, in quotes, does not discriminate based on sex, and then parentheses, including sexual orientation or gender identity to its education programs or activities. It is required by Title IX of the Executive Amendment it is required by Title IX of the Education Amendments Act of 1972 and its implementing regulations not to discriminate in such a matter. That policy is in direct violation of President Trump's two executive orders, one in defending women from gender ideology, and the second one preventing women in men participating in women's sports. Here's what Executive Order 14168, defending women from gender ideology, says. Section 2, policy and definitions. It is the policy of the United States to recognize two sexes, male and female. These sexes are not changeable and are grounded in fundamental and incontrovertible reality. Under my direction, the executive branch will enforce all sex protective laws to promote this reality. And the following definitions shall govern all executive interpretation of the application of federal law and administration. Sex, and then going to subparagraph A. Sex shall refer to an individual's immutable biological classification as either male or female. Sex is not a synonym for and does not include the concept of gender identity, but yet your policy on your Facebook says we do not discriminate against gender ideology. How can that happen? How can this body allow that to be in direct contravention of the president's executive order? Then going on, female means a person belonging at conception to the sex that produces the large reproductive cell. Male means the person belonging to a conception to the sex that produces the small reproductive cell. And then F, gender ideology replaces the biological category of sex with an ever-shifting concept of self-assessed gender identity, permitting the false claim that makes that males can identify as thus becoming women and vice versa, and requiring all institutions of society to regard this false claim as true. Gender ideology includes the idea that there is a vast spectrum of genders that are disconnected from one sex. Gender ideology is internally inconsistent in that it diminishes sex as an identifiable or useful category, but nevertheless maintains that it is possible for a person to be born in the wrong sex body. Okay. Gender ideology reflects a fully internal and subjective sense of self, disconnected from biological reality and sex, and existing on an infinite continuum that does not provide a meaningful basis for identification and cannot be recognized as a replacement for sex. And then it goes on. This is still under that executive order. Federal funds shall not be used to promote gender ideology. And one of the things that can happen is that the Department of Education can remove all federal funds that you, the board, have taken on the basis that you don't discriminate based on gender ideology. It is in violation of the President Trump's order. And that order is valid until the Supreme Court of the United States says it's invalid. It has not been declared invalid yet. As you know, there are a couple of cases now that we're waiting for a decision on. Those cases were argued in January. Sometime before the end of June, we assume that those cases will be handed down by the Supreme Court. And it will maybe, once and for all, put some concrete sense into the ideology of this gender ideology can make a difference in sexual behavior based upon what a person thinks subjectively and what the government and some school boards have said they will protect. It was your own athletic director that spoke out in favor and sympathy of this individual who may be entitled to sympathy. It is not against him. But what is upsetting to me as a lawyer, as a public interest lawyer, is that not once did he ever say anything good about the females that had been deceived in undressing and dressing in front of a male. Not once did anyone on this board speak out on that. Not once did any administrator, not Mr. Shaw, not the athletic director, not any social worker, not any compliance officer, ever say to the girls, "We're sorry this happened. It shouldn't have happened." And now it's up to you. And I hope you feel the indignity. I hope you feel the outrage. I hope you feel the feeling that this wrong should be righted, and that you should feel as outraged as Mr. Lechner feels, as the girls who were subjected to this concealment of a boy in their locker room, as I am sure many of the parents of these young girls feel but have not come forward.